Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias, guten Abend. How you? Great to be with you. NCAA basketball tournament is underway. Kevin's bracket already destroyed, which makes the show far more entertaining. Georgia State today destroyed Baylor 57-56. I mean, ran them out of the building.
It's not broken, but it's bent severely right now.
Also, Iowa State. Iowa State lost today to UAB 60-59. Notre Dame won, took care of Northeastern 69-65. It was a good game at Consol Energy today. My broadcast partner, Dick Girardi, that's where he is. He's covering games down there because Villanova's playing in that bracket coming up tonight. UCLA leads SMU 34-30, and that game is at halftime. Kevin referred to them as UCLA and SMU earlier. I had to explain to them that those are initials. And the second half's underway, 18 to go, and Texas leads Butler 28-26. Arizona, which had enough points with 10 minutes to go in the first half, now leads Texas Southern 84-63 with 5 minutes to play. All right, let's bring in from the New York Giants, Henry Hynoski, Southern Columbia's own. Henry, welcome. It's great to have you on the show. I know it's the first time we've had you. It's a pleasure for us.
It's great to be on, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
This is an interesting time of the year where free agency is taking place. Combines, Penn State has pro day today. You've been in the business now of pro football for a while. What has it been like for you to love and enjoy the high school experience, love and enjoy the college experience, but now play in the professional experience?
It's truly been unbelievable, but like you said, it's a hectic time period right now in the NFL, and the only thing I could say about that is worry about the things you can control. And fortunately, I was able to be signed pretty early in the free agency process. And the only thing I can control right now is work out and stay in shape and get ready for spring training and the upcoming season. So it's been an incredible experience so far. I've been very lucky and very blessed to live my dream and sign a new contract and continue to live my dream. It's everything I ever imagined. It's really a wonderful experience, and I couldn't imagine doing anything else than playing fullback for the New York Football Giants.
I've been around Tom Coughlin many times in my life, and he's always impressed me. He also has his own way of doing things. What's been the experience for you playing football for a guy like Tom Coughlin and some of the values he brings to the table?
The main reason I wanted to come back to New York was to play for Coach Coughlin. Such a tremendous guy, a man filled with integrity, truly cares about his players, the organization, the well-being of all the people that work for him. He's a good man, and don't get me wrong, he's tough, and he's going to ride you, and he's going to find a way to bring out the best in you day in and day out. But that's what we as players look for. We don't want a coach that's going to pamper you and, make you, feel good and comfortable. He just finds a way to bring the best out in you, which ultimately helps the team. And I think that's why he's been so successful over the years, because he expects nothing but the best from you. And ultimately, that's what, when everybody gives their best, teams win. And that's what Coach Coughlin provides.
Henry, you personify physical football. I mean, you have been one of the top three or four blocking fullbacks in this league in your tenure in the NFL. No question about that. That also means that you've got to throw your body in there. And we know what Chris Borland did this week. And I watch, obviously, Chris played a number of games against Penn State, so I know what kind of tough, hard-nosed physical linebacker he happens to be. A decision like that takes a lot of people aback. What were your thoughts when you heard that after 1 year he decided to step aside for the reasons he did?
Well, I got to commend the man because he followed his heart, he did his research, and he's doing what he personally feels is the best for his interest and his family's interest. And, you know, I played against the kid this year, and he ended up, after we played him, he ended up winning the Rookie of the Week for all of the NFL. And he's just a tremendous talent, but I respect his decision, and everybody has their views on that. But, you know, all I can say is I won't be retiring anytime soon. the only way I'm going to be leaving this game is when they force me to leave. So I love it. It's part of my you know, it's in my DNA. It's in my blood. It's what I love doing, and I can't imagine not doing it. It's something we could hopefully talk about retirement in 5 or 6 years from now.
It's also a very physical game. I know that a lot of people describe the Monday and Tuesday after, you know, you feel like you've gone through a series of train wrecks. So I want to get to the subject of Thursday night football. Everybody gets into the Thursday mix at some point. For a player, I know you're well compensated to do that. Is it difficult to get the body back in gear in a short turnaround? You only have to do it once, but is it tough to do that?
Oh, it's tremendously tough. Having a 4-day turnaround, that's just simply not enough. If we have a physical game where I'm running a lot of ISOs and we're running the ball, I mean, my body, I don't recover sometimes till Saturday after a game, and I feel good for that day, and then it all starts over again on Sunday. I mean, the physicality of this game is tremendous. People ask me, what does it feel like? What do you feel like after a game? And, you know, sometimes there's just no words to describe it. I just wish I could put that person in my body so they could feel what I'm feeling. That's the only way that anybody will be able to know. But it's one of those good feelings, though. When you're sore and banged up like that, you know you did something productive on the field, you know, let alone, you know, serious injury, let that aside. Just the nature of, you know, the muscle soreness, the physicality from the game, when that comes out, you know you did something productive, and it's actually kind of self-gratifying. It makes you know you went out there and you made some good hits and you did your job to help your team win.
Do you prepare differently? Does Tom Coughlin do anything differently in the days leading up to a Thursday game as opposed to a Sunday-to-Sunday routine because of what you just talked about?
Well, we'll definitely put the pads off. We won't wear pads for practice. Emphasis will be a lot more on meeting time, and we'll cut down the practice time and make it more of a, like a jog-through or like a walk-through pace just to save our legs and to help our body heal and recover faster than normal. That's pretty much it. You know, more of a mental emphasis than a physical emphasis, because you have to at that point, because otherwise, if you practice a normal practice week, the days leading up, there's just no way that anybody could play unless you're a kicker or punter.
Uh-oh. Yeah, the kicker punter, here we go. No, I'm just kidding. Let's get to... I was talking about obviously going through this and getting yourself to a certain point. You also have your own life that you want to take care of, and we want to congratulate you on your engagement. Where have you picked out a date? When's that going to be?
It's going to be June 25th of 2016, and it's going to be up here in Jersey. My family, you know, well, now that I play here, she works here. It's the best possible scenario for both of us to have it there, and we're really excited. We're still in the beginning stages of planning it now, but mostly we got the venue and the date picked out, and I'm going to pretty much let my fiance take over from here until we have to decide on the food, and then I'll take a major part of deciding on the food and drink and that sort.
I would just a slice of advice. If I were you, I would take that approach the rest of your life.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, I'm beginning to realize now that I'm no longer the boss. So.
Oh no, that's dramatically changed, Henry. I know when I've had other NFL players on the show, Sean Lee of the Dallas Cowboys, Cameron Wake of the Miami Dolphins. Sometimes we've really had to work around meeting schedules. What percentage is on the field? What percentage is meeting and going through film study that maybe a lot of fans don't realize?
Well, I'll give you a general outline of my day. Get up about 6:45 in the morning, go down to the facility. I work out for about 45 minutes to an hour. And then aside from breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and practice. We practice for maybe two and a half hours. Then we have another hour to go in and get in the sauna, the tubs, get treatment and stuff after practice. So that's 3.5 hours total. We're done by 4 o'clock, and the rest of the time is meeting time. So I'd say it's maybe 70-75% meetings. I mean, that's how intense and mental this game is. A lot of people don't understand. They think you just show up on Sunday and play. And, you know, we have a full, during the season, we have a full day. Like I said, I'm up at 6:45 every morning. We're done at 4 o'clock, but when I get home, I spend the next 3 hours on my iPad going over all the plays and watching films. Each player gets an iPad, and it gives us our ability to watch film and study the plays that way. So I guess I get done around 7 o'clock, maybe even later, every night, relax for about an hour or two, then go to bed and repeat the process. So there's really a lot that goes into it. We just felt like we just wake up on Sunday and play. And right now we're full go training in the off season. Everything's on a volunteer individual basis, but I know myself and a lot of guys are training full go, getting ready for spring ball coming up. So it's really a year round process, year round job. And I think that's the one thing that often goes slighted when people think of the NFL.
One final question, Henry, then we'll let you go, and we appreciate the time you carved out for us today. When you started playing when you were young, you played because it was fun.
Right.
Now here you are as an adult playing professionally. What is still fun about the game today to you?
What's still fun? you know, honestly, the best feeling I can say, I've had many great feelings in sports. You know, I've had pleasure of hitting a home run, you know, making a shooting a three-pointer that's nothing but net, scoring touchdowns. There's not a better feeling in the world than laying a bone-crunching block and you know that you physically defeated your opponent that you're going up against. When you hear the pop of the pads and you move a linebacker out of the hole, there's nothing better than that feeling in sports for me. When making a block and a running back scoring a touchdown, that's a feeling that you can never get sick of. That's a feeling that keeps me going. Everything as a young kid, it's just like you're day in and day out, you're living your dream, and I'm never going to forget what my goals were as a kid and how it was my dream to be where I'm at today. Even though we're at a professional level and it's a business, you still got to find a way to make it fun. And that's something that I do every day. You just really have to appreciate the game, never take it for granted. And one big thing, you can never be complacent or feel comfortable. You always got to be on your toes. And that's the one thing I've noticed with people that had, you know, successful long careers. They never get complacent, never get comfortable. So that's one thing I'll never allow myself to do.
Well, you're probably one of the top three or four in the league as a blocking back in this league, probably one of the best when it comes to blitz pickup. We appreciate the time. Just one piece of advice. The next time Eli wants to gift wrap a touchdown pass to you, reel it in, all right?
All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Henry, thanks so much. Henry Hynoski, the Valley Zone of the New York Giants. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention, Pennsylvania truck buyers. This is the one event you've been waiting for. Sunbury Motors is having their 67th annual March New Ford Truck Sale. Pick from the largest selection of new Ford trucks with savings up to $10,000. An F-150 4x4 Super Cab are priced from just $29,944. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling truck for 38 consecutive years. A new F-150 is sold every 42 seconds. Choose from over 50 of the hot selling 2015 Ford Escapes, and they're slashed to as low as $19,965. SMC has 2015 7-passenger four-wheel drive Explorers reduced to under $30,000. 0% financing for up to 72 months is available on many models, and every new Ford is clearly marked with the lowest prices of the year. Hurry into the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and get a great deal on a new Ford during Sunbury Motors' 67th annual new Ford Truck Sale. SMC, proudly owned by the Merce family since 1915. Hurry before someone buys your new truck.
Okay, that's the Georgia State fight song. And I've actually been in the Georgia State gym. Yes, I've actually been in the Georgia State gym. Penn State practiced in the Georgia State gym in 2001 when they played in the Sweet 16 at the Georgia Dome against Temple. Ah, you didn't know that, did you? That does not count as one of the 133 arenas.
Well, and
does
you,
not.
And you
going
will...
to practice, going to practice, and being at a practice does not count as one of the 133 arenas. I went to DePaul's arena.
All right, so practice
last week
count.
Doesn't count. All right. Practice doesn't count. You actually physically must have worked the game in the building. Okay, so like for you, the Phil Lockoff gym, that's one.
Right. There's a lot. I've got a few. I've been a few college
saying,
places, too.
I'm saying I'm counting for you. That's one.
All right, thanks.
Now, there are others you can add in after that. And you don't. There's no need, on behalf of the audience, to tell us.
I'm not. Don't worry. Although you will see Georgia State football. Is it next year or the year after? Year after. 2017, isn't it?
Year after, yeah. Georgia State's on the schedule. So... But they won today. They beat Baylor, took Kevin's bracket, and set it on fire. The final was 57-56 over Baylor. Let's see. Xavier and Ole Miss locked up at a tight one so far. Scoreless.
and that's actually almost 2 minutes in, isn't it?
Yeah. Here's a partial score. UAB 60. All right.
Thank you, George Carlin. Can you tell me what the temperature at the airport is?
In Western Walla Walla? On Wonderful
Walla. I don't know anybody who lives at the airport.
In Western Walla Walla. Arizona has won. They beat Texas Southern 93-72. Texas leads, check that, Baylor leads Texas, or excuse me, Butler leads Texas 33-30. With they're at the under 12 in the second half. UCLA and SMU, it's 34-30 UCLA at the half. Notre Dame won today, survived, beat Northeastern 69-65. August had a good game, he had 25. UAB knocked out the third seed Iowa State, a popular pick to go deep in the tournament because of how they played down the stretch. Lost today 60-59. And Georgia State beat Baylor 57-56 and literally ruined Kevin's day.
I do have a quick question for you, though. I know, and you've seen...
The answer is no.
You've obviously seen Ohio State. Can Ohio State beat VCU? Because I did pick Ohio State in that one.
Ohio State will not make a deep run in this tournament. They're capable of winning the opening game because they'll have the single best player on the floor. D'Angelo Russell will... And D'Angelo Russell... It actually did not hurt Ohio State losing when they did in the Big Ten tournament because I strongly feel that D'Angelo Russell needed a couple of days off. I felt like his legs the guy I watched play in Chicago Friday did not have as much lift as the guy I saw play at the beginning of February. And he needed a couple of days off. I think it was beneficial to Ohio State that he would do that because he will run the show against the pressure that VCU will bring. I feel Ohio State, I have them winning that game. I have them winning that game, but then losing the next round.
Losing to Arizona is the way I have it.
Arizona?
Yeah.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will.
Now, I missed it. You may have said earlier in the week, who's your Final Four?
My Final Four? Let's see. Kentucky.
No, I know you Kentucky. Have Kentucky going the distance. I know that.
Okay. It's irrelevant. They're just going to, I mean, like the Hampton kids are hugging each other and then all of a sudden went into deep depression on the way to the airport. They went, uh-oh.
I have Kentucky, Arizona, Gonzaga, and Nova.
I've got Nova in the final against Kentucky as well. I'll tell you, Villanova doesn't get a lot of credit, and I think I've figured out a reason why they have not received a lot of run from people as a team that can go either deep or beat Kentucky.
Nobody's seen them.
And here's the reason. Because nobody's seen them play.
That's exactly
right. Because of Fox Sports 1.
Yep.
Fox Sports 1, they've been in the witness protection program.
Me and five other people have seen them play.
You haven't even seen them play.
I still have them losing to Gonzaga, though.
Because you spend a lot of time at the Phil Lockoff gym.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And I want to take one quick moment. We just heard Mark Lawrence moments ago. And Mark is being honored tonight. And justifiably so. Mark is one of the truly, not only an outstanding broadcaster, not only a great professional, but he's also somebody who believes deeply in volunteerism. And the Sunbury Rotary is honoring him tonight as its Volunteer of the Year. And he becomes the fifth different member of Sunbury Broadcasting Company to receive that award, which tells you about the people that have been hired by SBC over the years, and Mark is the latest in a long line. And Mark has the trait, the inability to say no. The reason he has the inability to say no is because he cares so much about people, and he cares so much about the community. The community means a lot to him. Thus, he tries to do everything he can in his power to make the community better. That's why he volunteers as often as he does. And the Sunbury Rotary will be honoring Mark Lawrence tonight. We're very proud of that, thrilled for him. And, you know, we kid around back and forth between the two shows, but that's because we kid around about the two shows. He is just a marvelous, marvelous guy. And to say I'm proud to work in the same company with him, even though he would not say the same about me. I just want to say how thrilled we are for Mark. A well-deserved honor tonight. So congratulations to him. They picked the right person. This is where you jump in and back it up. All right, forget it.
I totally agree with you. How's that?
Great. How touching. You two, you actually work with him every day. This is where you jump in and keep your job.
He is a great guy. I enjoy working with him all the time. Well, I'm just reading what he wrote for me.
The script was written. Mine was from the heart. Try that sometime. All right. Mark A, by the way. Mark, congratulations. It's well-deserved. They're honoring the right guy. You mean a lot to the Valley and a lot to all of us, too. Let's talk about Penn State football. Spring practice begins tomorrow for the Nittany Lions, and we bring in Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times-Tribune. Donnie, welcome. Great to have you with us. What were some of the specific takes you had out of the press conference early in the week from James Franklin?
Just to me, because, you know, we get kind of so focused on the local guys sometimes who, who come from the areas we're from, and you know, the guys who we cover a little bit during the year. I thought it was interesting that he threw Naeem Wortman's name out as the possible fill-in at middle linebacker for Mike Hall. Now, I'm not surprised he did, because I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, Naeem kind of, in a lot of ways, looks like a middle linebacker. He could run sideline to sideline. He could do a lot of those things. Good solid tackler. And he is the next guy in line. But last year, I asked a few of the coaches about the possibility of moving Naeem inside, and that wasn't even being considered at that point. They were content with the young guys they had there, and kind of giving Gary Wooten a chance. So I think it says something about what they think about the leadership Hull had and the experience. The benefit of having an experienced player in the middle there, it's kind of changed a little bit, and now they might be, you know, maybe leaning toward Naeem or a guy like Ben Klein, who obviously has some of those same characteristics. But other than that, I mean, that press conference in the spring every year always, you know, it just reminds you how graduation affects the team. I mean, you got holes, you know, one tackle spot, you got holes at the two defensive end spots, and you know, the backup running back position. So there's going to be a very different Penn State team than what you saw at the end of last season.
It's interesting. We'll start with the middle linebacker part. You and I, you know, and Donnie, because you're around all the time, you know the middle linebacker is as important to Bob Shoup as the quarterback is to John Donovan on the other side. It's one thing if you talk to Bob, which you have, Naeem's football IQ is very, very high. To play that spot, the importance of that in your estimation?
Oh, I think it's huge. I think he fits in perfectly. That's why, I mean, you start asking those questions at the end of the year, and obviously the coaches aren't thinking about that, so it's kind of unfair to put him in that spot. But the reason you start asking those questions is because, you know, you're talking up to the kid, and he seems like a guy who can handle it. He's, you know, the thing with Naeem is that, you know, he realized 2 years ago he didn't have a great year. He was inconsistent. He wasn't the kind of player he wanted to be. And, you know, this is a guy who got a late start in football. He moved to Jessup, which is, you know, one of the suburbs of Scranton. And he moved there, and that's when he started playing football, was in high school. So he's kind of just getting used to this and learning, you know, learning the intricacies of the game. And, you know, what he did last year to improve his game, he told me straight up, is he followed Mike Hall. He followed him around. He wanted to be doing exactly what that guy did in practices. He wanted to be in his groups. He wanted to be running with him. He wanted to try to beat him at everything. He wanted to lead like him. So it just makes some sense that, you know, this is a guy who can fill in. And you're right, he could be the quarterback of the defense, and that's what that middle linebacker spot is. And you know, Bob Shoup he's a smart guy, obviously. He knows the value of having experience there, especially when, you know, you don't have the experience at the defensive end spot. You don't have you don't have a guy like Mike Hall to kind of, you know, make up for a defensive line that might not be as solid going into next season as it was going into last season. So that's a front seven there that works in concert with each other. So, you know, they're going to need as much experience on the field as can get in key spots. Wortman he's the most experienced linebacker now.
Interesting in watching Grant Haley play last year. I think everyone thought, wow, there's got to be a way to get this guy on the field more, and they found a way, and that's taking Jordan Lucas and making him a safety. Your thoughts, Donnie, on that move to the safety and what Lucas can bring in that spot for Penn State?
Well, I think he brings a lot of leadership, and yeah, I another thing I really thought, I'm glad you mentioned that Franklin said the other day, was that, you know, he'd rather have a, you know, freshman, young, inexperienced guys, if they're good enough on the field, at cornerback on safety, because it's the same kind of thing. You're seeing more of the field at safety. There's more responsibility there. You know, you can make more plays against the run than you can at cornerback. You got to kind of be a two-way player, and I think that does fit Lucas a lot. He could be more of an active, vocal leader, and that suits his game. He's really a guy who I think that. He wasn't a captain last year, but he really was a guy who could have been. He's a guy that they look up to, and you know, he knows what he's doing, and he's experienced, and he's savvy, and that fits in this system at safety better than a cornerback. You're kind of out there on an island, and unless the ball's thrown your way, I mean, nobody's even really looking to you. So I don't know if I think that he's a better pro prospect at safety than a cornerback. I think that kind of thing. I thought a lot about that with Amos the last couple of years, mm-hmm. where it really looked like he's a better cornerback than he was an impact safety. And I think maybe that, you know, once the draft comes around, you'll see a guy like Amos go as a cornerback. But I just think that as being a run stopper, and I think Lucas could do that well. I think he could cover, he'd be a nice ball hawk back there. So he'll be I think he could be a really good player at safety, but I think he was a terrific cornerback too.
And you cover a lot of baseball up in Scranton, so you know the analogy that James Franklin and Bob Shoup are great believers in taking your defense and really being strong up the middle. In baseball, that's catcher, shortstop, second, center field. And in football, that's the two tackles, the middle linebacker, and the two safeties. And it appears that, you know, that move, talk about Naeem Wortman, and you talk about Jordan Lucas, that then, I think, reinforces that philosophy.
Yeah, they'll be very strong up the middle. I mean, the two defensive tackles, I mean, with Zettel and Johnson, that's the strength of your defense right there. Then you got a middle linebacker who could really move with Wortman. If he's a guy who's moving in, it certainly seems like he's going to get a shot. And then, you know, they love those safeties. They loved them last year with, you know, the young guys, the true freshmen that they would get on their hat teeth, and guys like that. You know, with Allen back there and with, with Lucas moving back there, that's a pretty formidable up the middle, you know, group that really does work together a lot, more than the average fan who watches the game would think. So, yeah, that's a way that Penn State can improve its defense after losing some guys on the ends there that did a pretty good job against the run and the pass.
On the other side of the ball, everyone knows it's going to start with the offensive line. What are your thoughts on the offensive line? And obviously, you know, something I can't talk about yet, but you can. There's a young man from your area that evidently is going to be transferring in.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Reiner is the guy that everybody's waiting to see what he does. And Penn State obviously can't talk about him rules wise, but he's announced he's going to go to Penn State. And what he is really, he was another one of the Scranton prep kids. He was the kind of the lineman at prep before Noah Bay. So, he kind of passed the torch to Bay, and they're two very different guys. And Reiner is he's more of what you expect out of a northeastern Pennsylvania lineman. He's 6'3", 6'4", whatever he is, but he's a big, strong, gritty guy. He's going to play inside, and I don't know. I don't know what to expect from him because, on one hand, he was a guy that Penn State looked at coming out of high school a little bit, and he went to Stanford. They were obviously a big time program. Didn't play very much out there, and he's coming in here, and he's experienced, I guess, in a sense that he's played college football and he's practiced a lot. But let's see once he gets on the field, and I think that Penn State would really like to use him as a swing guy, a backup kind of guy. I think they'd rather, in their heart of hearts, go with the younger guys, go with the Brendan Mann, or go with Guy and Dowry and those guys, and hope they've developed enough to the point where you could use. Yeah, a guy transferring in for a year as a backup kind of guy at center and guard, but I think that what he gives this line that it didn't have last year is going to be a lot of depth, and whether it's good depth or not, I don't know. Whether I'm not sure it's the experience that makes it different. I would say that's the case, but I'm not sure that you're going to have a dominant offensive lineman again for the second straight year, but. Where this line really has to get better is, and really can get better, is the fact that they've played together before. They can play a little more in concert with each other, and be the type of group that isn't going to make the little mental mistakes that killed us so often this year.
Adam Brenneman did not play last year, I thought James Franklin made an interesting point about, hey, it would have been great for him. Idealistically to have redshirted even his freshman year. So he's got that extra year under his belt. What are your thoughts on getting Brenneman back and potentially what it could do to help the offense?
Nobody talked last year about the kind of loss Brenneman was. I thought that was a really underplayed story all season because, as good as the tight ends were, Jesse James was a pretty good tight end, and Carter made some, he's made some plays over the years, but they didn't block very well. And you can't expect the younger guy, to sit. He's out there doing what he can do. But, they missed Brenneman as an all-around player. So I thought he really made some strides as a blocker his freshman year. And Franklin mentioned that, and I thought he put it really well the other day. He said, you know, if the tight ends aren't going to block, then we might as well play a third receiver, because really they're just a slow third receiver when they're on the field. So they need to improve their blocking, and I think Brenneman does help in that area. They need to help out the offensive line. He'll force it, so if they're rushing six, you know, the Penn State isn't out there just with five guys trying to piece it all together. They need a guy like Brenneman. They needed him last year. They needed him badly. They need him to be a force at the point of attack. And I think he will be. I think he's that kind of player. And really, as good as this group was 2 years ago, as good as Carter is, as good as Jesse James is, you know, Brenneman, I thought, was the guy who really could have been the best all around those three. So to lose him, a starter caliber at tight end, was really, really hard for that team to overcome, and I don't think they ever did.
And not only that, but on the same page with Christian Hackenberg. It seemed like Hackenberg knew where he was at all times. And Brenneman, because of his wide receiver experience, Donnie, is not a body catcher. He's a guy that catches with hands out, and that allows more yards after the catch. And I agree with you. I think it's something that wasn't talked a lot about, and I think was a key loss, and then getting him back is important. What do you think of the running backs, starting with Lynch, but then working through a couple of guys that some fans haven't seen yet?
Yeah, I asked about the running backs.
Yes, you did.
I think it should be a big concern for Penn State, because, you know, Lynch was a better back running the football than Swinnack and Felton was by last season, and that emerged. And you know, when they got a running game going, it was really Lynch who did the most consistent job. But what Penn State really needs out of that backfield is someone to catch the football, and they could teach somebody to pick up pick up the blitzes and be a better blocker. And Lynch certainly needs to be that. But I think first and foremost, he needs to be a better pass catcher, and they need to find someone who they can play on third downs. You know, third and long situations, who could be a guy who can run a decent route and catch the ball. And you know, they have some different options. I mean, Allen's an option, but he's a smaller guy. You know, Johnny Thomas, they say he's going to be limited a little bit this spring. He's more of a bruiser. They mentioned a couple other guys, but really none of them played. So the first chance anybody's really going to get to see these guys in a college uniform is April 18th in the blue-white game. So it's a total mystery right now what they're going to get out of that position. But I'll say this, they were definitely better there last year than they are this year, because they just don't have as much experience.
Right, and then you know, the experience part does come into it. How anxious are you to watch the development of Christian Hackenberg?
I'm very anxious. He's, you know, I'm with Franklin. I think he got a lot of unfair criticism last year, very unfair, because it's when you're getting sacked 40 times, it's tough to play quarterback. When you don't have when you take Allen Robinson away from a guy, that's something big to overcome, because you can't, when you get in trouble, you don't have that guy to just throw the ball to and, you know, hope he can go up and make a play. And you take Brenneman, you mentioned earlier, Brenneman's the guy who can go up and got the size, got the hands to go up and make a play on a ball. He didn't have that guy develop last year. I mean, Hamilton's a terrific receiver at what he does, but he never kind of was used as a deep threat. Geno Lewis was a little inconsistent in that regard at the, you know, once the fourth or fifth game rolled along. So they didn't really have that guy that go-to guy that you could just fire up a ball to in one-on-one coverage and hope he can win the battle. So Hackenberg had to hold the ball a little longer and hope he could find someone underneath, and he got hit a lot. I don't think that's all his fault. I think he, all things considered, had a pretty solid year. Looking back on it, not the statistical numbers he'd like to put up, obviously, not the statistical numbers Penn State's looking for, but he did okay. He, you know, Penn State would have been lost without that guy last year, what he was able to do, and the punishment he was able to take without really having to use another quarterback that they wanted to burn a red shirt on. So I think this year he's going to be a lot better. I think he's going to push the ball up the field a lot more. He's going to get rid of the ball a little bit sooner. He's not going to take the punishment. Even if the line isn't just as good as it was last year, and the pressure is still the same, I don't think he's going to take the same amount of punishment.
Donnie, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Donnie Collins from Scranton. Always great information from him. We'll come back, wrap up the Troy Polamalu watch in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention, Pennsylvania truck buyers. This is the one event you've been waiting for. Sunbury Motors is having their 67th annual March New Ford Truck Sale. Pick from the largest selection of new Ford trucks with savings up to $10,000. An F-150 4x4 Super Cab are priced from just $29,944. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling truck for 38 consecutive years. A new F-150 is sold every 42 seconds. Choose from over 50 of the hot selling 2015 Ford Escapes, and they're slashed to as low as $19,965. SMC has 2015 7-passenger four-wheel drive Explorers reduced to under $30,000. 0% financing for up to 72 months is available on many models, and every new Ford is clearly marked with the lowest prices of the year. Hurry into the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and get a great deal on a new Ford during Sunbury Motors' 67th annual new Ford truck sale. SMC, proudly owned by the Merce family since 1915. Hurry before someone buys your new truck.
I guess I'll speak here because the Shamokin Dam Orchestra went on a temporary hiatus.
I hit the button, and I pointed to them, but they didn't start.
Frauds.
I guess they're in contract renegotiations with you. I'm not sure. They said something about it.
Out of loyalty, they'll do it. Patrick Chambers, two-year contract extension at Penn State. Third winning season for the Nittany Lion basketball program since 2001. And upward mobility on numbers. 16 wins last year, 18 this year. He gets a two-year contract extension through 2019 and a two-year contract extension for Coquise Washington as well. That was approved by the compensation committee at Penn State. NCAA tournament continues. Butler leads Texas with a 152 to go, 45-43, much to Kevin's chagrin. UCLA leads SMU 44-43 with 8:24 to go. Xavier leads Ole Miss 28-19, 6:51 to go opening half. Notre Dame, Alabama, Birmingham, Georgia State, and Arizona all won. As for the losers, they were Iowa State, Baylor, Texas Southern, and Northeastern. All have one thing in common. They are gone.
Somebody forgot to tell UCLA they're not supposed to be in the tournament because they're playing like they belong there.
Hey, once the window of opportunity opens, you take it. You don't ever sit there and say, we're not supposed to be someplace. If you ever do that at any point in your life, then you actually don't belong. So I want you tonight to go home and say, I do belong on this show. I do belong on this show. Come on, little engine that could. You can do it.
I feel so motivated.
Repeat after me.
I think I can.
I know I can.
I'm sorry.
So don't get in an accident on the way home.